We are in Acts. So if you remember, we started with the Holy Spirit coming on the day of Pentecost. And we said the Spirit came to empower them to be witnesses. Then we looked at six things the early church did, and we talked about the fact that we should be doing those same six things. Then the week after that, we looked at them having a united purpose and what that meant to all come together and work toward a united purpose and what we could accomplish as we do that. And we also looked at Psalm 133 that says, when we dwell together in unity, God what? God commands His blessing. What I didn't know is I'm preaching that here, and the week before, Pastor Kurt preached that at Open Arms Christian Fellowship, one of the Elam Fellowship churches. Same scriptures and same theme. So that was exciting. God saying something, that we should do things with a united purpose. All right. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to look at one of those six things that we talked about the early church doing. And are you ready for God to challenge you and encourage you today? Okay, I'm going to try that question again. I mean, isn't that why we hear the word? Because we want to be encouraged and we want to be challenged. Okay, so who today wants to be encouraged and challenged? Okay, that was better. Woohoo! All right. So what that thing is that they did is they brought the kingdom of God to their community. A number of things they did in the temple, at church, but they also took the kingdom of God out to the community. Jesus sent out 70, and he said, "You go ahead of me by twos to all the cities that I'm going to be visiting." These were his instructions. Heal those in it who are sick and say to them. See, Trish, this goes right along with your verse. The kingdom of God has come near you. They went out in the community. They prayed for people for healing. And then they said, that's evidence that the kingdom of God has now come near. It's not up there. It's not over there. It's not with the apostles. It's here with you in the community. And then remember the prayer that Jesus taught us? Your kingdom come and your will be done where? On earth, even as it is in heaven. So think about that with me. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. Okay? Now, see, we need to make that personal. That doesn't mean in Africa. That doesn't mean in China. That means in your home, in your workplace, in your community, at Giant, at Target, wherever it is you go. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth, even as. See, Jesus doesn't just haphazardly speak. He just doesn't use a random mix of words. If he says even as, that means he's expecting earth to start to look more like heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but when I look at the earth, I don't think it looks a lot like heaven. Now, maybe that's just me, but when I go throughout my daily life and go places and hear things, it doesn't quite look like heaven. So that means it's even more important for you and I to take the kingdom of God out there with us. Amen? Right? Do we all need to do jumping jacks or drink a cup of coffee or what this morning? Come on, folks. A coffee, right? It's out there. It's out there. Okay, a quick reminder from our previous text in Acts chapter 2. Many signs and wonders were taking place. When they went out in the community, this is what it looked like. Many signs and wonders were taking place. They continued daily with a united purpose, praising God and having favor with the people of their community. All right, ready to jump into our text today? That was all introduction. Trying to get you caught up. So we are in Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Phone, Bible, whatever. Acts chapter 3. You ready? Okay. The Word of God is living and powerful, active. Expect it to do some things this morning in our lives. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day, he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg as people went in and out of the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently. The lame man looked back eagerly, expecting to receive some money from them. But Peter said, "I don't have silver or gold, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly strengthened and healed. He jumped, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God. What was he doing just 5 minutes before that? Now he's walking, leaping, and praising God. He went into the temple with them. All the people, everybody gathered around, coming to market and coming to and from the temple, people going in and out of the gate, all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. Amen. So let's picture this scene. If we want to make things real, sometimes with me, and I think with you, you have to pause and think about it and make it real. So Peter and John were on their way to the temple, okay? There was a 3 o'clock meeting. They wanted to get there in time. They didn't want to miss it. It was going to be a prayer time. So they were busily on their way. We actually talked about busyness at the men's connection group that we do with 5 other churches that we had Friday night about how busyness can keep us from the plans the Lord has for us. They had plans. They had things they wanted to accomplish. But they took the time to notice the blind man. So I had to stop and think, how good am I at that? How good are you at that? You might be much better than me. They not only noticed the lame man sitting there, but because of compassion, they stopped. Come on. They didn't just notice, but they stopped. Does that sound like Jesus? Does that sound like the kingdom of God? In Matthew 9, Jesus was going through all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news of the kingdom. Announcing the good news of the kingdom. Healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. When he saw the people gathered, he had compassion on them, for they were distressed and discouraged, like a sheep without a shepherd. So yes, this definitely looked like Jesus, sounded like Jesus, what Peter and John were doing in that situation. So then how about you and me? Do our days look like Jesus? What he would be doing, what he would be saying. And when we encounter someone and talk with someone, do we make them realize that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near? That's challenging. That's why I started today saying, do you want the word of God to encourage you and challenge you? You know, we all love when it encourages us and we read all the wonderful things God has planned for us and that we're his sons and daughters. But how about when it challenges us? That's a little rougher, isn't it? It is. How are you and I making the earth look and sound more like heaven? How are we making? If we're praying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven, how are you and I making it look and sound more like heaven? All right, verse 2. That was Peter and John stopping, noticing, having compassion on the man. It says in verse 2, some help organizing all my papers here because I keep wanting to slide off. All right, there we go. It says in verse 2 that the man was born that way. He didn't develop a disease at 65 years old and just became lame. He was born that way. So think about that. Never been able to walk. And he's come to the conclusion the only way he can make it through life is to beg for money. Wow. How would that feel? And then to realize that he did it every day and that he couldn't even get there by himself. And once he got there, he couldn't go anywhere. You know, I think I'll just walk over to that cool tree for a while. I'm hot. Or I'll just go somewhere and get a drink. He was stuck there until someone came and then picked him up and carried him back home. So it made me stop and think, what kind of dreams and expectations would he have had? Boy, I don't think he had very many dreams or expectations. He really just wanted to make it through that day and have enough money to buy something on his way home to eat. What if that was what you had to do every day? Ew. So making it applicable to us, what about some of the people we pass, that we pass in Walmart? I mean, I just go and sometimes I just shake my head. I mean, they come in their pajamas, and the pajamas are just barely hanging on their bodies, and they're in flip-flops, and I'm thinking, oh my gracious. And you know, you can tell that they don't have much money, and you look at them wobbling in. And so do we notice what their lives must be like every day? If they're homeless, living in their cars, you know, just barely making it through the week, do we stop to notice? I always have my to-do list. I have the three things I want in Walmart. I give myself 20 minutes to get in and out because in a half hour I have to be somewhere else. Do I even have time in my busyness to stop and to notice and to ask somebody, how are you? Can I help you with anything? Wow. I don't know how challenging this is to you, but this is really challenging to me because I'm one of those busy people that always have some place I need to be or something I need to do. Working two jobs, keeping my grandkids one day. You know, I'm still a husband. I still have stuff at my house to keep from falling down. And so that's the way sometimes my days go. I pull into Walmart and I think, I have 20 minutes. I rush in, rush out, you know, self-checkout. I don't know if that's slower or faster, that's debatable, but you know, I'm still not keeping in my schedule. So are we thinking about what these people are going through? You know, what happened in their past that crippled them? They might not be physically crippled, but they might be emotionally, mentally crippled. What are their dreams? Does he or she have any expectations of life? Do they expect anything to happen different today than every other day? Think about this lame man. It doesn't say how old he was, but I get the impression he wasn't 15, 16. I don't know, in my mind, I picture him maybe in his 50s. So every day, that was his expectation. I'm going to be carried out, dumped there, spend the day. Somebody's eventually going to pick me up, carry me home. So those people we pass, those people we work with, those people we go to school with, those people that live next to us, what are they expecting today any different than yesterday? Do we even notice? I know Dory's really good with noticing. Now, sometimes I have to caution her because I've been around enough to know that they're scams. And I know a couple times people through the years have stopped here, and then I talk with other pastors and find out they make their living driving up and down 81, and they know where every church is. And they just stop in, and you give them money, and then they drive to Shippensburg and get money, and to Chambersburg and get money, and that's how they make their living. And so, you know, but Dory, if she just went through the line at Wendy's and bought herself something to eat and sees somebody along the road, she'll hand it to them. And I'm like, I didn't even notice that person standing there. And she's handing them food out the window. If we notice, do we allow Jesus' compassion to cause us to stop? Because there are some times I notice, and then I think, I'm too busy. I don't know how long that interaction is going to take. Because you realize once you stop, you have to find out what the issue is. You know, you're walking with a cane. Well, did you just have surgery? Have you been walking with a cane all your life? You know, how can I pray for you? But our goal is to bring Jesus into the situation. Is that right? Okay. So what if that person prayed that day, Jesus, if you're real, show up. And Jesus was like, well, Steve, I'm planning on you being that person. And I don't ever stop or notice. So let's look at the positive. What would change in their lives if we did stop? If we did ask them how they're doing? If we did ask if we could help, if we could pray for them. And if we brought the kingdom of God to the situation, how different would their lives be? I don't know if you remember us having Richie Lewis here, an evangelist. He has the Dream Center. He posts testimonies every Saturday of people they prayed for and how their lives had been changed. And then what I love, a year later, it pops back up, and he gives you an update. That person is still working. That person is still going to school. That person who, you know, couldn't walk without a cane is still not using a cane. And so it wasn't that this person just had a moment of inspiration or energy. God showed up and changed their lives. They were one way. Jesus showed up, and now their lives are. What if we were the person that Jesus wants to use to do that? It won't happen if we don't stop. Your kingdom come, your will be done. All right, verse 3-5. So Peter and John saw him, and his expectation was, okay, you stopped. You've noticed me. You're going to give me some money. That's going to make my day a little bit better. But they didn't know He didn't know that it wasn't going to be money that makes his day different. He had no way of knowing that Jesus and his kingdom was about to show up in a very dramatic way. We don't have silver and gold, but I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk. 2 points out of this verse. Number one, we can only give what we have. Okay, if you don't have silver and gold, you can't give silver and gold. But number two, we are expected to share what we have been given. Come on. We are expected to share what we have been given. So we can't give something we don't have, but we are expected to share what we have been given. Freely you have received, freely. Come on now, is that Pastor Steve or is that Word? That's Word. Give and it will be given to you. What? That doesn't even make sense logically, does it? Give and it will be given to you. The measure, the amount you give, will determine the amount you receive back. If you only do good to those who do good to you, why should you be credited for that? Love your enemies, do good, and lend to them expecting nothing in return. That's Luke 6. Okay, so what does that mean? Like when I read that, I have to stop and think, what does that mean and how does that apply to me? Does that mean Jesus expects us to give to others who haven't earned it? Yeah, see? I like it much better when you've done something to earn it. How about to people who don't even like us? He used the word enemy, not me. Don't even like us. And it says don't expect anything in return. So wait a minute. Am I supposed to give to them and not expect anything back? That was three yeses. Yes, yes, and yes. Yes, he expects us to give to people who haven't earned it. He expects us to give to people who don't even like us. And he expects us not to want anything back in return. Ooh, I struggle with all three of those. May as well be honest. It says, freely you have received, freely give. Okay, so if that is true, are you agreeing with me that that's true? That's what the word says, right? Freely you've received, freely give. So, what have I been given? What has Jesus given me? So let's think about that. Love. For God so loved the world. Okay. So if I've been loved, then what should I be giving? Love. Come on, I'm going to make this rough on you. Even to people who haven't earned it, even to people who don't like me, and even to people who can't return it. Ouch, ouch, and double ouch. Right, Trish? Wow. Come on. See, I can give love to people who love me. I can give to people who love me back. But how about giving it to people who have no intention of giving it back and they don't even like me? Ooh. Jesus, are you sure? Can I find another verse that tells me I don't have to do that? Freely you've received, freely give. Number two, a pardon and a release from judgment. Ooh. So if I've been pardoned and released from judgment, I am to pardon others and release them from my judgment. Ooh. Number three, forgiveness. Have we been forgiven? Amen. So that means we're to forgive someone, even if they haven't earned it, even if they don't like us, and even if they've never apologized. Jesus, this Christian life, this is challenging. If we're to bring your kingdom on earth and bring it near them, folks, this is how we do it. Now, what that doesn't mean is that we shouldn't put up boundaries, and it also doesn't mean that we have a relation. I'm using double negatives and getting myself confused. We don't have to have a relationship with them if they won't honor the boundaries. Okay, we are allowed to have boundaries, but that means I still love them and I still forgive them. But I'm not going to let you come into my house every day and punch me either. Okay, the door's going to be locked. You talk to me through the door. And so, yes, we can put up boundaries, we can maintain boundaries, but we still love, we still forgive. What else have you and I freely received from Jesus? Hope. Okay, so if we've received hope, what are we to freely give? Some people were the only one. Jesus, through us, is the only one that can give them hope. Come on, let's be real. Where else nowadays are they going to get hope? They're not going to get it on Facebook. They're not going to get it on the news. Where else are they going to get it? They're not going to get it in the economy. They're going to have to get it from Jesus. What else has Jesus given us? I am looking for a response. Peace. Okay. He's given us peace. You know what Jesus said that's so interesting? He said, I will give you peace, my peace. That just blows me away. Because we know how peaceful Jesus was. He was asleep in the storm when the water's coming into the boat. He was like, yeah, well, Dad has this. He's going to take care of us and get us to the other side. I said we were going. We're going. So I have peace. Me, you know, I'd be bailing and hyper and come on, everybody, we're sinking. And I see more waves and more wind. Storm hasn't stopped yet. Don't stop bailing, you know. Can we call for help? Who has their cell phone? Really? It's not charged again? Okay, that'd been me. Jesus had peace. He said he'd give me his peace. And so, freely received, come on, freely give. Who do you know that needs peace? Oh, pretty much everybody, right? After the last year and a half we've had, pretty much every single person. Okay, so what if you just said, boy, you look really frazzled today, somebody you work with. Could I pray for you and just ask God to give you peace? You know, they might have said no to that a year and a half ago. I have a feeling nowadays they're going to say, yeah, that sounds pretty good. Yep. Okay, peace. What else? Favor. Okay, so help me with that one. So he's given us what kind of favor? Because I'm not sure we can give favor. We give favor? We can get favor from him, and he gives us favor with other people and with our workplaces. Okay, honor, that might work. Okay, so treating somebody with respect. All right, what else? Grace. Oh, how do we extend grace? What does that mean? What does that look like? Grace means you didn't earn it at all. You didn't do anything to deserve it. It's not because you have your Sunday school pin. It's not because you helped the old lady across the street. It's not because you were kind of the person that pulled out in front of you. He just gave it. Okay. So what does that look like in relationships? Wow. All right. You getting the idea? Freely you've received, freely give. See what else I have written down here. Compassion, kindness, provision. Hasn't he helped you when you needed financial help? What if he wants to use you to help somebody else financially? Okay, so then it says, Peter took the lame man by the right hand, helped him up. Okay, first he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. I remember when Richie was here, he said, you know, sometimes the way we pray and that we've been, I don't know, taught to pray, in the habit of praying, isn't the best way to pray. I'm like, what's he mean? How dare he tell me I don't pray the right way? And then I realized what he was saying. So does Peter go up to this man and say, oh God, you know what struggles this man has had, and you know what a rough life he has, and you know how much he needs you? Did he do that? We do that all the time. I do that all the time. Okay? Or maybe we say, oh God, and this isn't true for this man as far as we know, oh, you know this man, he gives alms every week. And so we're making it sound like he's earning the healing. And so God, since he gives alms every week, and you know he wants to go to church, but he can't go to church, heal him so he can go to church. He didn't say any of that. I do, maybe you do. What's he say? He speaks to the man's body in the name of Jesus and declares healing. He doesn't ask for, beg for. Watch what he does. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Wow, I don't know that I've ever prayed for somebody quite like that. He spoke to the man's body. He spoke in the name of Jesus. Then it says he took him by the right hand and raised him up. You know, the man could have said, I can't, I haven't, I've never, and I won't. Couldn't he? But Peter had full expectation. Now we could say had complete faith, or we can say full expectation that Jesus, not him, because he said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, that Jesus was going to do it. How do I know that? Because he grabbed him by the hand and lifted him up. Otherwise, he would have said, okay, stand up. Let's see if anything happens. Grabbed him by the hand, lifted him up. Wow. Wow. So I think I need to maybe adjust how I pray. I need to pray like I'm expecting something to happen. Right? I mean, we do believe Jesus still does this, right? I heard one amen. Do we believe that Jesus still heals people? Okay. It says, as he raised him up, instantly he was strengthened. Now, he didn't instantly run across the yard, but he instantly was strengthened. So maybe he wobbled a little bit, and he got up, and he was like, wow, this is a new experience. I wonder if I can walk. And the man agreed and participated in what Jesus was doing. So not only was he able to stand up, I mean, I think that's pretty exciting. He'd never done that before. And then maybe he shuffled a little bit. Then what did he do? He leapt in the air. I don't know if I would have been willing to do that if that was me. But I guess he thought, well, we got this far. I'm standing. I'm shuffling. Let's try jumping in the air. And it says he went walking, leaping, and praising God. Wow. So, what if Peter and John would not have stopped? What if they hadn't been willing to bring the kingdom of God near to this man? He would not have been able to experience what Jesus wanted to do. His life would not have been totally changed. Are you and I willing to change our plans and break our routines, stop, access somebody's needs, and invite Jesus to move? That's the question of the morning. I found it interesting that he went with them into the temple. I don't know if he ever went to temple. I don't know if somebody carried him in occasionally, but he knew who healed him. that it was Jesus, and so he decided to go to the temple. See, sometimes, and I know in years past, this was our thought, right? Let's invite somebody to church that has a need, have the pastor and elders pray for that person, and then once Jesus touches them, they'll want to come back to the church. Well, what about if we went out there, prayed for them downtown Carlisle, downtown Newville, God touched them, and then they said, so, where do you go to church? Because I want to come and thank God for what happened out there. That'd look a little different, wouldn't it? Is that going to happen if we don't ever have that expectation, though? All right. So, three things as we get ready to close. Are you and I going to allow Jesus to help us notice the needs in our communities? If we are, I think we need to ask him that or tell him that. Jesus, I want to notice the needs. Would you help me notice the needs in my community? Help me to notice the needs. Number two, are we willing to go where the needs are? So Jesus, will you help me to go to where the needs are? If that's Walmart, if that's walking the streets downtown Carlisle or Shippensburg or Mount Holly or Boiling Springs, or maybe venturing across the river, which I know is scary to many of us, but if you're willing to go to Harrisburg. I'm willing to go where the needs are. And number three, Jesus, as I go, will you show up in such a way that they know that the kingdom of God has come near? So Jesus, we want to be used this way. This is the way the early church was used. This is still your plan for us to be out in the community, for us to be bringing the kingdom of God near, for us to freely give to others what you have freely given us. We want Jesus to show up so that people will receive peace, they'll receive love, they'll receive forgiveness, they'll receive strength, they'll receive kindness. They'll be healed, they'll be delivered, they'll be set free. Their lives will never be the same, Jesus, after encountering you. And Jesus, if you want to use me to make this earth look more like heaven, I say do it. Use me this week to represent you to someone who has a need, and whether they know their need is you or not, use me to show them your love, your compassion, your grace, your kindness, your mercy, and change their lives. So yes, I'm willing to freely give what you've given. So what happened when this miracle took place? It says all the people noticed. Come on, how about that word getting around? That when these Christians are out praying for people, things change, situations change. I want to end with a story. This is about being used. I immediately got up and ran to see. Now, this is a true story. This isn't just the one to illustrate a point. I immediately got up and ran to see what was happening. Looking back, this guy was on vacation. I could see my wife holding our 4-year-old son in her arms and comforting our daughter. When I came to the area where they had the boy, the pool lifeguard was attempting CPR on him. trying to revive him the best he could. The mother was screaming and crying with the most desperate sound I have ever heard. People standing by were talking quietly about the boy who had been found by his 5-year-old cousin floating on the bottom. The utter helplessness in the atmosphere was so thick, the only thing cutting through it was the cry of the mother for her child. I stood by with my father-in-law praying in my spirit, "Do something, God, do something." 20 minutes or so went by, and this boy was still unconscious, barely breathing. The CPR was not changing anything. Some were suggesting that the boy might have something stuck in his airways. Others were saying maybe he hit his head and was unconscious. The paramedic was trying to pump his lungs and remove water. Nothing was changing. The boy was actually looking worse. It was evident he was fighting for his life. Maybe about 10 minutes later, the ambulance arrived. The EMT placed the boy on a stretcher and marched him out to the ambulance. The only sound you could hear was the sound of the mother wailing for her son's life. This 4-year-old boy was now being hauled off to what felt like a funeral procession. People were trying to comfort the mother, but everyone there felt the darkness of what was happening. I continued to pray, "Do something, God, do something, God." As they rushed him into the ambulance, the mother still sobbing, I continued to pray, "God, do something." And I heard the Holy Spirit say, "You do something." It was like something exploded in my spirit. I was determined to see this boy come back to us and to fulfill his God-given destiny. My wife and I ran up to the mother, who was hysterical, and grabbed her by the hand. And I said, "I am a healing minister. May I pray for your son?" "Please," she yelled, "he is my only son. What is his name?" "Adam." My wife and I took one of her hands, and I took the other. I said to the mother, "God is going to bring Adam back to you, and he is going to fulfill his destiny." At that time, I felt a shout rise up within me. "Adam, I speak to your spirit. Come back into your body. You will fulfill the destiny God has called you to. You will live. You will have full brain function and be healthy all the days of your life. Breath of God, come into his lungs in Jesus' name." When my wife reached out, his wife prayed, and so then all the crowd started to pray. I'm trying to make the story a little shorter for you. Immediately, the EMT jumped out of the ambulance. He said, "The boy's awake. He's no longer unconscious, and he's screaming for all his lungs could bear." The crowd had witnessed a miracle, and everybody knew. The EMT reported that while they were attempting to put a medical device down the boy's throat, he woke up screaming. He was now fully alert, yelling, "I don't want this, I don't want this," as they were trying to use the device. He had come back to consciousness. People were coming to the mother to celebrate what had happened. Tears of joy were flowing down her face. Everyone was stunned, and the awe of God permeated the atmosphere. I stood, watched people say, "Jesus, Jesus," probably for the first time in their lives. Emily and I were hugging Adam's mother and blessing God's incredible salvation. And he goes on to say he runs into the uncle a couple days later. They took the boy to the hospital, checked him out. He had no side effects from being unconscious all this time. So brought Jesus into the situation, was brave enough to ask the mother if he could pray, spoke to the body, spoke to the situation, invited Jesus to come, and guess what? Jesus came. Amen? All right, you're dismissed. Be encouraged.